Hey guys, welcome back to Lather Talk. We are joined this week by two very special guests. They are, in fact, fellow podcasters and wet shavers. We have the hosts of the Take Care Man podcast, both Todd Stanfield and Andy Wilmer. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having us. Honored to be here.
So happy to have you on. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Gerard. Hey, Gerard, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Good to be here.
All right. So with the kind of the formalities out of the way, let's first hear about the actual podcast, guys. So I'm not sure how to do this because there's two of you. So feel free to, you know, like kind of go back and forth on this. But for those who are unfamiliar with the Take Care Men podcast, can you give us kind of a brief summary of what you guys are trying to do with that, with the show?
I'll let Todd tell you about it, because he's he gets told off for me by talking when he shouldn't do. So I'm going to let him do all the talking.
He wants me to get it all out here at the start.
Okay.
Despite the fact the podcast was Andy's idea, he's going to let me to describe what we do over there. It's Andy reached out to me about, you know, really wanting to start something related to men's mental health. Obviously I'd been talking about it on my channel. Andy had talked about it some on his channel. He had some experiences in his own personal and work life. I have a background as a mental health professional, but what we're trying to do on the channel specifically is raise awareness about men's mental health issues, try to reduce the stigma around talking about those issues, reduce stigma around seeking help, helping educate people about what different mental illnesses are, when to seek help, how to seek help. Also, you know, Andy particularly has a real passion, which I share, of trying to make workplaces and employers more sensitive and create more responsive, you know, healthily responsive environments, work environments around mental health. And an interest as well is trying to advocate for affordable mental health care services, because unfortunately what happens a lot of time is when people do decide to get help, it's very difficult for them to find a provider or afford that care. So basically just trying to change the conversation, or at least move the needle a bit around mental health stigma for men, and trying to encourage them to seek help and making that help more available, basically.
Yeah, I'll let Todd do that, because he makes it sound more professional than I probably would have. But he is a professor, after all. It's Professor Stanfield. So,
yes.
Yeah, like Todd said, it was born out of, a bad experience I had in my last job. And it really got me down. It got to the point where I was diagnosed with depression, and I was suffering really badly with stress. And it was just my way. I wanted to do something to try and help other people in that situation, not just with workplace mental health, but just mental health in general, because it is a stigmatism that is still there within the sort of male community. And as we're all wet shavers, you know, it's a predominantly male focused community. So It was kind of my love of wet shaving and, I suppose, mental health, trying to help other people, because I mean, I've seen it's worse being, like I said, in the British Army, and a lot of people I've seen have suffered massively with, obviously, PTSD and different sides of the side effects. And I guess I didn't really take it that seriously until I actually suffered with a mental health sort of issue. But now I can appreciate it a lot more. And obviously, Todd's got a lot more experience than I have, but I just say it as it is, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was kind of how it was, I suppose, come to fruition. And yeah, we've had some cool guests on, I think, so far. I think Todd would probably agree. And I mean, it has been a bit sporadic, but we both have our own lives, you know what I mean? We both work quite hard, so it hasn't been as probably regular as we'd like it to be. But yeah, it's still there, you know what I mean? And I'm sure we'll be back soon. So
awesome. for sure, definitely a difficult topic for a lot of people to bring up, to engage with. Initially, so, okay, so you kind of mentioned, and correct me if I get this wrong. So, Andy, kind of, you had the seed of this idea and reached out to Todd. So, where did you, I guess, kind of come across Todd first? Like, did you come across his YouTube channel? Did you guys have interactions prior? Could you share a little bit about kind of how you guys basically came together to
do this podcast? I knew of Todd's, obviously, channel, the Take Care Man. And I'd seen a couple of videos that he posted around mental health and using obviously the platform to advertise that fact. I don't really know how I kind of just reached out to Todd and said, hey, do you want to do it? Just because I knew he had the experience of mental health and obviously the stuff I'd seen on the channel. So We hadn't really been talking about it prior to that. It was just something I came out and sort of did, I guess.
Yeah, it was one of those serendipitous things because I wanted to do it, but I'm not real good at like being the guy who says, let's do this. Like this, you know, it's always an idea. So the minute Andy said it, I was like, oh, someone else is as daring as I am, but they're actually willing to, you know, jump off and do it. And we had kind of just commented on each other's videos some and stuff. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, yep, I'm in. That's great. And I also liked, you know, the fact that we were bringing different perspectives, and you know, I don't know if you could call it an international podcast because we're still, you know, basically two English speaking countries, but nonetheless, it brought a little bit of a different, you know, flavor, I think, having the two of us. And that's something we kind of joke about on the podcast, is comparing British and American culture, which is fun. But yeah, you know, the reason I even started talking about mental health on my channel, I mean, I used to be the director of a community mental health center. I'm a social work professor. I have a PhD in social work and have experience as a mental health professional. But what was amazing to me about watching these YouTube videos, right, was, first of all, you try to describe to other people, like, these types of videos you're watching, other men shaving, it sounds just it sounds just straight creepy on the base level, right? But it amazed me that, and I'm kind of interpreting here what was happening. But when guys get a razor in their hand and they're talking about this shit, sometimes it shuts off a part of the brain that sort of would not have them talk, that would censor them about talking about things in their life. And here they are shaving, and suddenly they're sharing, you know, personal stuff about their life, or, you know, little, you know, tidbits about what's going on. And certainly for me, there was a mental health intervention aspect of wet shaving. In other words, it's done a lot positive for my mental health. There's also some caveats to that, where it can be perilous, but for the most part, it's been a very positive thing for me. And I noticed that was true for other guys who were, you know, sharing on social media or in these videos. And I start, as soon as you mention mental health, like if you just mention it on one of your, you know, things, if somebody is really wanting someone to talk to, they tend to reach out. And that started happening as people would reach out. And we wanted to, or I did initially on my channel, was trying to talk about, I have a video that I did talk about how can we support each other in wet shaving, because people have different expectations, you know, about what support looks like and how to get help and that kind of thing. And some people were trying with it that were like the admins of certain groups, trying to figure out how to manage those types of issues within their groups. And so that's the first video I made where I sort of addressed it on a more community level. But another thing that's been great, briefly, is that we've had so many artisans create soaps that are related to mental health. So, you know, like the weight, which was related to PTSD, which is first line?
Yeah, first line shave.
Yeah, first line.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jason at the Razor Company, along with, you know, J Mac, the Red Island Shaver, with the y'all help me, what's it called?
The Canadian Mafia Show.
Yeah. The soap that they did for the.
Never Alone.
Never Alone. There you go. And there's been a lot of others. Loth Johnny. Wait a minute. I listened to the the episode last night. Luther Grooming. Which, by the way, I think
I still say Lothar. I still say Lothar. Just
I think he could solve it if he named the scent Lex, because then everybody would say it, right? So there's a lot of stuff coming from artisans and other shavers that are focusing on mental health. So I just think it's kind of a sort of, you know, adjunct movement along with wet shaving is just trying to increase, you know, a discussion about men's mental health. So it's been a nice, you know, way to sort of enter into that conversation.
It's not asking us to rank this, right? But I guess, like, what are some of the biggest, like, obstacles or hurdles that you think make it, you know, make this such a difficult topic to bring up?
Yeah, I think the whole alpha male, I wouldn't call it syndrome, but people being alpha males and not wanting to particularly talk about it because it makes them seem weak or it makes them seem less of a man or less manly, I think is one of the big issues. And just stigmatism, society, although we've come along, the perspectives that people see of men in general doesn't change. And I mean, they're supposed to be traditionally this macho man that carries the weight of the world on the shoulders and can't be seen to be weak or have any weaknesses. And I think that's one of the main hurdles. And I think ignorance is probably one. It's easier just to make out that it's not an issue. I mean, unless you're suffering with yourself or you know somebody close to you that's suffering, it's easy to just kind of go, well, it's not an issue. It's not a problem within the workplace. Mm-hmm. And that, again, ignorance comes down to the whole workplace thing. People don't know how to deal with it. It's seen as a little bit scary, you know what I mean? Because it's not a physical injury or it's I suppose you could call it one of these hidden wounds. It's it's not visual, is it? You know, somebody that's, I don't know, an amputee is there for everybody to see, and you kind of, you know, not to stare or you know not to kind of do stuff. But with a mental health condition, you don't, unless you've had some sort of formal training or you're a professional, you don't know how to deal with it. So it's easier to just turn a blind eye or just not interact with it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it's in some ways a bit of a Western phenomenon in the sense that in Eastern cultures, they tend not to separate mental and physical health. There tends to be this, like, it's health, it's just health. And particularly in Western cultures, we tend to separate them and talk, and the fact that we even say mental health as a separate thing, and that there's really two different tiers of, you know, care systems to take care of it is a bit frustrating, you know, and rather than it just being one integrated thing. And so I think Andy's right. I think a lot of it is sort of this idea of what a man looks like and that men show no weaknesses and that kind of thing. And that expectation comes from workplace. It also comes from family, you know, whether we're wanting to seem to be strong leaders in our workplace or in our family as a husband or a dad or whatever, you know, we're the ones that are sort of expected to be strong and be the foundation and be the rock. And as Andy said, I think people just not knowing the different symptoms of mental illnesses. But, you know, also one of the things I would point out is, you know, we're trying to talk about not just the diagnosable, you know, mental illness categories, but also just the, you know, the stress and anxiety and depressive episodes that men experience as part of, you know, normal life. And I think just starting the conversation is important. You'll always have people who are able to power through things, and they have different level of resilience and that kind of thing. So they might sometimes poke fun at it or whatever. But, you know, for the most part, I see an increase in positive response around it. I think Andy is exactly right. I think one of the final frontiers there is the workplace, is trying to, there's a lot of employers that do lip service to mental health, but don't really, you know, really try to integrate it in what they do and recognize that in the long run, if they address it correctly, it's going to make for them a sustainable workforce that's there to be a very, you know, positive addition to their particular workplace or business. So it's the age old thing of stigma, of being seen as weak, as being seen as crazy, if you will. And rather than recognizing that it's just a normal part of our, you know, growth and development as humans.
Mm-hmm. And so to tie it into, I guess, what you guys are doing with the podcast. So, like, first off, I know sometimes there's episodes with just the two of you, you know, chatting about a topic, and sometimes you have guests, and the guests aren't limited to, because we all know each other from the wet shaving, the broader wet shaving community, but certainly the guests are coming from all different walks of life, different, you know, backgrounds and whatnot. Can you share a little bit about kind of like what guests you've pursued and kind of like, and what's in the general trajectory of like when you have someone on the show, like how do you choose that?
We have a lot of ideas. We have a lot of people that we want to get on that we maybe haven't reached out to yet. So there is quite a bit in the pipeline, but I think the more breadth you can get with guests from different industries, different backgrounds, et cetera, the more you can gain knowledge. And I mean, that's really what the podcast is about, is trying to give people the tools to be able to help themselves and help other people. So we've had a few people on. We've had, well, I suppose one of the main guests, and this isn't doing lip service to any other guest, is a guy called Lee Cockerell, who is the former vice president of operations at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. And I knew about him anyway from his podcast. So he has a podcast called Creating Disney Magic, which is basically not life skills, but it's a management and leadership podcast. And Lee's had his own mental health issues. So everybody has, not everybody, but people that have had some form of, I guess, mental health issue are always good to talk about it. But at the same time, people that haven't, I mean, it'd be good to get somebody on that is maybe controversial or doesn't think that mental health is really an issue, just to kind of have a conversation, because we're not, everybody's got their own opinion, you know, and if somebody may come on and say, well, actually, I don't think mental health is an issue because of X, Y, Z, and they may have a very valid reason, but I'd find it hard to agree with that. But right, we don't restrict ourselves to any one particular type of guest or people that have just suffered themselves. It's a wide range in subject, and it has different forms. I mean, it's not just depression or stress or anxiety. There's like eating disorders and stuff like that. So I don't know whether you've got anything to add, Todd, but
yeah, I mean, we've had three wet shavers that are content creators on. We had the Shaving Disciple. We had the Whisker Assassin. We had the Red Island Shaver, along with Pete from Ariana and Evans, on what we call our lost episode, where we were talking about
that was my fault.
No, it was Instagram. We're going to blame Instagram. Instagram Live. It's their fault. But in addition to that, it was great having Lee on. But we have this kind of inside, you know, content creation. I know you want to get there in a little bit, but Andy and I have a Google Doc that we work out of, right, where we have ideas and potential guests. And I've been really, I don't want to say harassing, but I've been harassing a couple people on social media that are kind of, you know, next tier level guests that their reach is beyond just wet shaving. And I'm not going to mention any names right now, because I'd rather wait until we have them confirmed. But what's also interesting to me is that I've had several men and women within the wet shaving community who are like, oh yeah, I want to come on to the podcast. Like I knew that they would be a good, you know, guest, because maybe they've mentioned mental health things or had some their own professional background that would be, you know, helpful to our listeners. And they part of it's just scheduling, you know, everybody's busy, but also I think people start to get reluctant, because it's one thing to say, hey, we'd love for you to come on and share your story. But then when you get closer to the time that, you know, that's an extremely vulnerable thing to do, right? To put yourself out there, to share what's going on, because you know that takes away a bit of safety. And so as people have been brave enough to come on and share their stories and, you know, sort of bare their souls, you know, I think that's one of the most powerful things you can experience, is feeling like you're alone. It's something that only you've experienced, but you hear someone else say it, like, and they describe based on the experience you've went through. Suddenly you feel like, oh, it's not just me. I'm literally not alone. And I can, you know, there's people out there I can talk to about similar things. So open invitation, anybody out there interested in coming on the podcast, reach out. We'll get you scheduled. Come on.
Yeah. We'll take anybody.
That's right.
I think, well,
you sound desperate, Andy.
I was trying to set it up nicely, where it's like, you guys, it's like you all walks of life. You don't have to be just been wet shaving. And then Andy's like, anyone can come on, just anyone coming out. Just come off the street, just come on the podcast. It's all good.
Our schedule is open.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, you're
not desperate.
Yeah. You know, you know, early on in the process, you have to feed the beast. You know what I mean? You got to get grist in the meal and get some stuff going. So, but I mean, there's some people and people, there's some people out there that know who they are that are high profile content creators that, you know, may have other shows and stuff. They know who I'm talking about that have been talking to me for a while about coming on. Mm. So I really want to get them on. Cause I think that when people see other high profile wet shaver,
sure,
come on and talk about mental health issues, I think it's really going to be helpful. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like Andy and I love doing the episodes together. Like it's a lot of fun. I think mostly we love torching each other in the trivia quiz at the end of the show that we have each episode. But our episodes together, I mean, they're good. They're really good, but we love having guests on. It just adds another level of dynamic that, you know, that I think just adds a lot of value to our listeners. So yeah, open invitation, reach out to us on social media and just let us know you're interested and we'll talk about it.
Very cool. And of course, I'll mention this.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Again, at the end of the show, we'll have the socials and the email address contact information for both Todd and Andy. If you are a interested, you know, guest, and of course to check out their podcast, you know, we're gonna leave the link. Are you guys doing both audio and video? I think I saw you made the change to do both, right?
Yeah. So we, I don't know. I think it was always audio and video. We just didn't get around to doing the video side of things, but we put out the video episodes on my YouTube channel, which is probably going to change. We'll probably set up our own YouTube channel at some point.
Not getting enough drama, talking smack, or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint. But if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware or software and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
All right, so let's pivot a little bit, and I'm just curious for you guys, as far as the wet shaving hobby goes, are there particular parts of the hobby that you're really into? Be it, you know, educational videos, but really like razors, brushes, that kind of thing. What for each of you, what is kind of your, you know, the thing that really gets you for the hobby?
I'll let Todd go first because my technology will probably break.
Yeah, you know, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, I think ultimately for me, it all comes down to the scents. Mm. I'm particularly interested in scents that are scented with essential oil. And the reason I am is not because I find them to be superior or anything, but because there's a lot of research behind those and they can be singled out. Whereas like Accords or you know, fragrance oils, it's hard to research those, or at least they haven't been researched, where you have like individual notes or individual oils or mixtures of oils to scent things that, you know, there's tons of research behind, particularly peppermint and lavender and eucalyptus and orange and, you know, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that aromatherapy, as Melly Mel likes to talk about, you know, is a real thing and is, but I also just enjoy I'm big on the hot towel thing. So I like, you know, wet a washcloth and I actually use my kettle that I make my pour overs with in the morning and pour, you know, water and get it. And I have like, it's real nerdy.
I've got the
meat thermometer over here and I wait to the
sink. Thermometer.
Yeah. I've got boiling hot water in the sink and I add just enough cool water to get it to about 126. But if you're trying this at home, 120 Fahrenheit is the technically you shouldn't go above that, but I go to about 126 and, you know, stick the washcloth in, wring it out and just that whole hot towel, you know, pre-shave and then, you know, shave experience. I just find it incredibly relaxing. And so, yeah, the process probably more than even the sense, it's just the process of it. It's a form of meditation, honestly. Mm. And one of the challenges, and we'll probably get into this later, of being a content creator is sometimes you're losing that meditation piece because you're trying to do a video while you're trying to enjoy something. So there's times where I say, you know what? Nope. Just doing a shave, not doing a video. You know, I'm just going to, you know, enjoy the shave and not worry about recording it. And so, you know, I have, yes, a good balance there trying to do that. But yeah, I think ultimately those scents, because they, not only do they, are they great for mental health, but they also connect me to memories and to people like my, you know, granddads and my dad and my uncles and experiences in life. And so it's almost like this little meditation time machine, you know, thing that happens during a shave that is really cool. And is probably what hooked me, you know, is going, wait a minute, I recognize that smell from my childhood. What is that? You know, and then trying to figure, oh, that's English leather or whatever, you know. I was in the, my dad's been in the hospital for a week. He got to go home today, thankfully. So, and is doing well, but the hospitalist doctor would come in every morning and I was like, what's that guy's aftershave? I was like, and I finally was like, oh, that's Paul Sebastian's what that is. And so today I did a shave with, I think that's the name of it, Paul Sebastian. I did a shave with Libertas from Heritage Hill and then followed it with aftershave. I was like, yes, that's exactly what that is. That's the scent is this Paul Sebastian splash. But yeah, so, you know, it just connects me with a lot of different things that are good vibes for me. So yeah, I love the scents.
I thought Gerard was raising his hand earlier. Did you have a...
No, when, well, when you were saying, when you were talking about Todd, the whole hot towel treatment, aromatherapy, no, it just reminded me of why I love spas. And so probably like 10, 12 years ago. So one of my best friends, he like told me, you know, that we grew up together. We're very like-minded, you know, type that you kind of finish each other's like dirty sentences, like out loud, you know, like thoughts out loud, whatever. And he like, he messages me. He just says, dude, we have to go to a spa. And I just, and I'm wasn't really expecting that. And it's like, okay, pray tell, you know, sell me on why I need to go to a spa. And he just went into all of those like sensory things, incredibly relaxing. This happened to be in Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, shout out. I'm not getting, you know, there's no, we're not getting to kickback, over there. No kickbacks.
No, not sponsored. Nice. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. But you know, he kind of walked through the whole, you know, scenario. That you can, for example, let's say you get a massage, you pay for a massage, you get a free access to the spa as well as the gym over there. And so you can go work out and then go get like a shower. You can use eucalyptus oil in your shower to like, you know, make it, you know, like nicer. It's like one of those like rainfall showers that completely cover your body. And then if you want to go to the baths, they have like these giant stone baths. One is exactly at quote unquote body temperature, 98.6 degrees. They also have a cold water bath. And then they also have like a very hot water bath, probably around that, like one, maybe 115, Lord help you if it's 120, you know, something like that. And then you can go also into the steam rooms. You have like a typical, like, you know, typical sauna. Then you have like a dry room, which is like simulates the desert, very low humidity. And then they also have like a eucalyptus steam room that's like at like 150 degrees. You cannot see anything in there, but just like inhaling that eucalyptus can go in there. And then you can go from 150 to just 50, an igloo room or an Arctic room. And it, and all of these sensory things are just like, you're just like, yes, do this to me, you know? And you haven't even gotten your massage yet. You haven't even got your treatment yet. He's like, you will feel incredible after doing this. Right. And I did it. I did it like maybe I went shortly thereafter, maybe a couple months later or whatever. And that's exactly why I told him. And in other cases also, they provide some shaving equipment also. It's not great. Okay. It's going to be the equivalent. It's a cartridge razor. But the one they happened to have, they had a machine that did hot lather. Like it was where you could just like, it was a hot lather dispenser. Mm. So you could do that. You could do the towel treatment. You could do all of it. And so it's the best thing, right? And it also convinced me on why I should, one, I'm not really a party person. So I don't particularly like clubbing and things like that. I don't like coming back from a little trip more exhausted than when I arrived, right? And so the other element is now if I go to the spa, I will try to do it the day I'm leaving. So I can literally come back relaxed. You know, it'll be the last thing I do. And, you know, like, because you go there in the morning, you can come back, you know, you do your checkout already, but you're just so, you feel so good. And so, yeah, I mean, I just identify with like this other, you know, extra sensory elements, you know, in the hobby. Yeah. And how you, you know, Todd, how you sometimes say that when we shave off camera, it's not, we don't shave the same way when we're on camera, you know, people know that, you know, John, you and myself, we do videos for West Coast Shaving, you know, like kind of product impressions, et cetera. But when I just do my own shave, you know, I take more time. I'm just kind of relaxing. I'm kind of just like taking in, you know, the pleasure of the shave, the pleasure of doing it. You know, it is the micro getaway, maybe back to the spa, maybe back to wherever it may be that you're going to.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Huge part, like all those things, the hot towel treatment, spa days, like are part of self-care, which maybe we can come back to in just a little bit. Cause I mean, shaving is definitely all part of self-care, but I want to give Andy a chance to answer that part of the question as far as what part of the wet shaving hobby that you really like engaging with.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm going to be really difficult now, and I'm going to move back to my laptop because my phone's about to die. So give me like 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Pause. Andy has everything with the laptop. It looks.
Yeah, we're good. I think if for anybody that's in any of my YouTube videos on the Opinionated Brit, it's not an Opinionated Brit video unless something goes wrong. So I'm just carrying on the mantle from the YouTube channel.
Time-honored tradition.
Yeah, that's it. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, Andy, like we set up the question just before you left, and through some editing magic, we will come back to that. But yeah, but please do, like, yeah, I definitely don't want. I want to give you the chance to share about, yeah.
So, my first, like, I suppose, obsession was pomade. So there's a similar kind of movement in the US for homebrewed hair pomade. So mm-hmm. Lockhart's might have been something you guys have heard of.
Goon Grease.
Yeah, Goon Grease.
I have a lot of Lockhart's.
nice. So yeah, there's a community called Everything Pomade, which is a community of pomade enthusiasts, and you get one pomade and you use it, it doesn't work, and then you get something else that somebody recommends and it doesn't quite work, and then you end up with about 20 pomades that you'll never use. And for me, the wet shaving thing is like the whole chasing the dragon, like, yeah, scenario of trying to find the holy grail of shave. So like the best soap, the best razor, the best aftershave splash or balm, and it gets out of hand. It does get out of hand. Like, I've got so many soaps that my wife says to me, you've only got one face. And it's true. You can only shave once a day maximum. But yeah, for me, it's not just that. It's not just fat. Cause I've kind of got to the point where I don't think I'm going to find that perfect combination. You know what I mean? I may do. I'm very close, but it's just, for me, it's the routine. When I left the army, I was in the army for 13 years, and it's very regimented. You're told where to go, when to be there, what to wear, what to bring. And I lost that when I came out. You know what I mean? And I was medically discharged. So I was kind of, for the want of a better word, thrown out. So that was a bit of a shock to the system as it was. But it's a whole routine of wet shaving for me, because I'm a bowl latherer. It's the getting the lather, it's putting the blade in, it's the painting the lather on, and then the shaving. And yeah, like Todd said, it's a bit of a zen moment, the whole scent thing. I mean, I've got so many soaps that I said that I don't use, but a lot of them I don't like the scent. So I've started shifting them on, or I'll send out samples and just get rid of them that way. And I'll always buy soaps. I said to my wife, like the other day, I said, I'm not going to buy another soap this year, don't get me wrong, it's achievable. I've got more than enough soaps to last me a year. And especially with like the channel, because I've kind of I want to try and take it in a different direction and have it more structured as a review. Like with soaps, it's kind of difficult, because once you've tried one soap base from an artisan, they're kind of all the same, but it's the scent that interests people. But yeah, it's the whole routine and the whole obsession with trying to find that perfect scent or the perfect razor. And it is expensive. Everybody says, oh yeah, wet shaving, you're going to save money and it's better for the environment. I can see you all shaking your head.
If you don't watch videos, if you don't go on Instagram, if you don't go on any Facebook groups, if you make the purchase and you just close that account, then it is possible.
I know one guy who is a friend of mine, Chris, who's Shave King on Instagram. He only uses one razor. He uses a German slant, I think it is. And he only uses one razor. He only has Sterling soaps, or the majority, 95% of his soaps are Sterling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that it is possible if you've got that restraint. But I'm like weak. I've got the breaking point of a soggy Kit Kat. So if I see something that I like the look of, I have to have it. So, and adjustables as well. That's my sort of Achilles heel.
Okay. This is
detail therapy is also a thing. It's okay.
It is. Treat yourself. This is a question I'll throw to Gerard sometimes when we're just chatting. But is there any piece of gear or any scent that you're particularly enjoying, like right at this moment? Question for all you guys.
Oh, Todd, you can go first, so I can think.
Yeah, that I'm enjoying at the moment. I tell you what, like it's kind of related to the whole thing of limiting your number of options. But I have three razors that I could, and these are just the razors I've experienced so far that I would say, okay, if I only had these three, I'd be fine. But I love my Rockwell 6S. To me, that's just the best, like blind buy. You know, if someone's not sure and they want to go that direction, you know, grab a 6C. But the 6S, I just love it. I think it's great. The Blackland Vector, I absolutely love. I almost made the mistake of selling it at one point, but I just love that razor. And then I have a Feather SS Kamisori that I really love using. I tried the straight razor thing. I just don't have the discipline to keep it honed, and I mean eventually I'll get there when I have more free time, but I tell you, I will say this is what I'm doing. I'm enjoying everything from Crown and Crane right now. Crown and Crane's fragrances are amazing to me. They have a level of sophistication and refinement that I don't find in a lot of other, you know, scents. And the stuff that Liz is doing there at Crown and Crane, and she's just started sponsoring our podcast, the Take Care of Men Mental Health podcast. But that's not the reason I'm bringing them up. I've fell in love with her since. Yeah. Like I've ordered her samples, and something she started doing that's really, really like a subtle thing, but I love, is she's taking the labels that normally would be on the paper the sample's wrapped in, and she's putting them inside the, like, you know, saran wrap or cellophane wrapper. It's a very nice envelope sealed, like clear wrapper that the sample's in, but the label's separate. So you can take the label off, peel it off like it's a sticker is what it is. And you can put it on a little container to put your sample in. I think that's really cool, because then you've got all these samples that are in containers. They have nice labels. I think that's a really nice touch. So I'm enjoying her scents, and I've only bought two full pucks because there's only been like maybe two out of say like 25 that I've tried that I was like, oh, that's just not grabbing me. But the rest of them I love. So yeah, Crown and Crane, great stuff.
Nice. I've used one of their shave soaps actually fairly recently, because I was like, oh, I've seen this brand pop up a little bit, but don't know too much about them. I'm trying to double check the scent I got. I want to say it's Japanese plum. Does that sound right, Todd?
Yeah, there's a peppered plum.
Pepper and plum. Yeah, yeah. Pepper. Mm-hmm. That one's fantastic. I highly recommend.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's that good. One.
How about same question to Gerard or Andy, whichever one of you want to answer next.
Yeah, I'll go. I was just looking for the soap, actually. I can't find it. But I bought it off the back of your top five scents of 2020, the C4 Spice Lime.
Ooh.
Oh, C Spice Lime?
That's it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I'm really liking that at the minute. That's a nice soap. Scent is right. It mixes traditional with modern, and anything really that Sean Mallor does anyway is pretty good. But another one I'm really enjoying as well, and it's a bit of a, I don't know how well known it is Oak Ash Thorn by AA Shaving. This is so there's a museum in the UK in York called the Jorvik Viking Museum. And you get in a little cart and it takes you around like a Viking village. And they have all scents like piped into the I suppose, ride. And this soap here, this is like a Viking. This is like if you went back in time and walked into a Viking encampment, this is what it smelled like. It is awesome. It's just, yeah.
Need testosterone and blood.
No. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, but yeah,
this Oceanic notes in there.
They're like, step away from the over the male macho now.
It is good. So that I'm liking that at the minute. That is like a manly soap. When you're shaving with this, you feel like you're a Viking, but which is odd because most Vikings have beards. But I like that. And then a razor. One of the razors I reach for quite a lot is the I think you guys call it the Alpha Outlaw, but the Executive Shaving Outlaw. It's not the smoothest, but it is just an efficient razor. They market it as a two-pass razor, or at least they do in the UK under the Executive Shaving banner. But it, like, I generally 99% of the time I'm a two-pass shaver, but that razor is really nice. So if you like an efficient razor that isn't gonna like rip your face off, then yeah, that would be one of my recommendations. So, but the Rockwell at 6S as well, that's just like a staple in my den as well. Like if I had to choose like five razors, the Rockwell 6S would probably be in the top three. So
it's a solid razor. I think Gerard and I are both fans as well. So because of Gerard, I borrowed his. I wound up upgrading from the 6C to the 6S and haven't looked back.
And then when he gave it back to me, I ended up giving it to my brother and I haven't replaced it. And I got reminded of it when I visited John back in September. He let me use his stuff. And then I'm just like, I haven't used a 6S in a while. I'm going to use a 6S. And then I shaved with it. I'm just like, God, this is so good. Like, I shouldn't have given it to my brother. I should have just taken it back.
And the difference between the 6C and 6S to me is not just the materials in the sense of like, oh, this is nicer material. It's a little heftier. It's a little heavier. The 6S is. So to me, I don't like a light razor. Like I've had some aluminum ones and they literally skip across my face, which, I'm not into trying to apply pressure. So I like that little extra weight in the 6S to me makes it a slightly better shaver, I'll put it that way, than the 6C. And so that extra bit to me is one of the reasons I love the 6S, not just the fact that it's stainless steel.
Yeah. How about you, Gerard, as far as anything catch your fancy as of late?
So stuff that I've picked up just recently, I picked up... we talked about like Luther Grooming. I picked up Namka from somebody. Very, very nice. But I also picked up a Conservatory from Oaken Labs. Mm-hmm. You smelled it?
Yeah, I had it and I was expecting it because I had a what was it? It was a wax melt and it was called Grandad's Greenhouse. And it was like a really nice, like traditional scent, like
It's more floral than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be like that scent, but it was just not my cup of tea. Doesn't mean it's not anybody else's, but yeah, sure. I didn't enjoy it.
A surprise one. So there's one of the artisans, Dr. John's. I don't know. I don't think they still have it, but like last month or, you know, maybe something like that, they had their like dented tin sale or stuff like that. Like just, so they will sell just like maybe like a dented like cap or a dented, you know, tin or whatever. Just nothing's wrong with the soap, selling them for $7. So I picked up a couple. One, and then one of them was Rosa Phrygia. Not really crazy into overly rose scents. It just reminds me of my grandmother. But it's really nice. I didn't know what to expect, but it's really, really nice. I'm glad I picked that one up. And then I picked up something else from them. I forgot, but that's the one that I've been using recently. That is quite nice. Sweet. And then hardware wise, I don't know. I've been,
I mean, just anything. I was opening up the floor to,
I mean, we're talking about the success. Yeah, it is really good. And eventually I already know I'm going to pick it up again, but I also have like 20 razors so like between vintages and modern. So like, do I need to pick it up? Not really.
You could get it in a different color.
I could.
Yeah, they just brought out the rose gold, haven't they? So yeah, there's rose gold has just been reduced.
I can't hear what you're saying. No more colors, please.
So no, I picked up the rose gold 6C and then I just gifted it.
Let me check this on the fly.
If I'm gonna do it,
I don't know if I might. I don't know if they started putting the color, like the red and
rose gold, aka it's just copper. Okay, let's just say what it is. People are like, it's rose gold. I'm like, it's copper. You know,
actually,
even if it's the fake, you know, if it's not really copper, the metal, it's the color of copper.
I'm pretty sure that it's the 6S that they just brought out in rose gold, because there was they made the announcement just after they made the announcement about the cost of the 6S and the T2 going up.
Yeah,
and then so I'm pretty sure that it's the 6S in rose gold.
There's something to consider, Gerard.
It's like a cat, shiny new object, you know.
magpie. Yeah, they shiny stuff.
I just to throw my pick in there, I've been really enjoying the Carve put out a new razor. They've had the Christopher Bradley for a while and offered in different metals, but the Overlander razor, which you guys might have heard of, multiple people recommended that one to me because it's a low blade feel and moderate to high efficiency. It's great. It's definitely, like, I would definitely say it jumped into my top five. I've had like 3 or 4 shaves with it now. I haven't officially put it in that list, but it's definitely like a contender, and just such a pleasure to use. Gerard, you'd probably like it, but you can borrow mine before. That's the beauty of it. With friends in the community, we can borrow stuff from each other.
See, I mean, go on, Gerard.
It's when enough people tell you, and is that a blessing? Is that a curse? You know, in this hobby, right? You just have other people that are trying to enable you, you know, in this hobby. I'm looking for the head, you know, I don't mind the handle, but you know, like a head only option would be great. If not at this time anyway.
Right.
You know, but yeah, more than likely I'm hoping eventually, you know, like it'll happen, and then I'll just pick it up.
Cool.
What were you saying, Andy?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I went the other direction with the Carve. I was looking at the Overlander, but they also brought out the what's it called? The Knopf. I don't know, the red tip.
Yeah. The different handle.
Yeah, that's it. But I went with that one just because it looked nicer. And that's an aluminium razor, or sorry, aluminum, as you guys call it.
No, it's fine.
That is, I mean, I'm not, I like a heavy razor, but that actually is really a really nice razor. Like, I think it came with like the the B, C, and D plate. And on the D plate is real nice. So, but it's similar to their standard.
To the carved, Christopher Bradley, yeah. The head, right?
Okay. That's right, yeah. But it's still nice.
Yeah, yeah, it looked great. It's definitely a unique looking, with the colors and then the design and everything. So you went with that one over the Overlander.
But I'll tell you why, because I don't know if any of you guys ordered it. I was waiting for the Black Bandera to be released, so I put my hand in my pocket and ordered that. So that's a really unique razor, I think, isn't it? Not laser printed, 3D printed. So I'm not aware of any other razors that are 3D printed. So
as far as like a stainless steel, that's kind of its claim to fame. Although it's still like, because you pre-ordered it, correct?
You've got it though. You've tried it though, haven't you?
I did get it early. Yes, I did get an early one, and
I did not.
I'm also, you know, I'll send you to, I told you to, you know, you could try that one, but also try the Overlander. But that's a lot, because like all the base plates.
I joked, you know, about being late on things. You know, I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll just get the era. But I was looking on getting the 4 or 5 plate, and then they're sold out. So I'm just like, I'll just wait till the next drop.
John's among the chosen. There's that, you know, there, you can sense the resentment among us content creators.
I didn't mean that.
I'm happy, you scumbag,
John, for being sent that.
I'm happy for John. I'm happy for John. I'm just saying, it's like,
absolutely. Yeah. If I did, you know, if I actually, you know, put more effort into it, you know, and stuff like that, you know, I'm sure, you know, but I don't. I even tell this to you know, our guests, you know, that are, you know, like that have products, like, I don't really, if, you know, if they want to send us something, and I don't know if we'll put this in, we'll include this, but if they want to send us something cool, I don't, it's not really like my shtick, you know?
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's nice, but, you know, like, I just want to talk with you because you're interesting or you have something interesting to talk about, you know?
Right.
Like the platform is for them, you know, and everything. With that said,
Todd, we could send Gerard a mental health issue.
There you go. I also caveat with this, Shane did send me a Blackbird Titanium. Okay. So, and I ended up also with a Vector Titanium.
So, right, I'm going.
So he's been the most generous. So I'm not. Don't worry. I'm not. But I'm. Yeah. I mean, I think just, you know, from looking at the element of, you know, the hobby and stuff like that, it's exciting because we're always going to be, you know, like you said, chasing that, like that perfect, you know, shave. But I tell people all the time, like, you can have your quote unquote perfect razor. You're not going to shave the same every single time with it.
That's right.
You know,
it's a moving target. I mean, yeah. I think this conversation has to include the whole FOMO thing, the fear of missing out, you
sure.
know, of like, yeah, absolutely. Of trying to chase this, you know,
is that an academic term? I hope it is at this point.
It is now. Cause I said it. So the thing is, you know, that like you can have, like, you know, there's days when my favorite shave is a Parasso Red, right, with the now discontinued fine, you know, Santal, like, you know, aftershave. Mm. And then the next day, like, I used Latoya, is that how it is?
Latoya,
the Spanish,
yeah.
One, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah, had, yeah, it the other day. It was amazing, you know. So it just depends on what day it is, you know. And yeah, I mean, I've had to, I'm a little older than you three guys. And so, you know, I've reached a stage where I can see my mistakes a little more. So I'm not ashamed to admit those, but it's like Andy said, like I've gone through January and half of February without purchasing any new, you know, shaving gear.
Very nice.
But I'm trying to revisit the stuff that I do have, you know, and I'm like Andy, I'm trying to move things on, but no, I think the whole fear of missing out thing, right? And, you know, since Gerard mentioned being Catholic, you know, I've come from a Christian faith tradition. That's the original sin, right? It's like the, you know, the serpent's like to eat, like, hey, this fruit over here is amazing. Like, I know you've had the other fruit, but this fruit is, you know, and so
amazing that God himself doesn't want you.
That's right. He's holding out on you.
Delicious.
Like, you know, yeah, it's like sebum gold. It cost $1 million, but hey, it's amazing, you know. But I think fear of missing out is a real thing, like to kind of bring the mental health into this whole conversation is I think you have to kind of slow your roll a little bit and say, how much more amazing could it be? Right. You know what I mean? And it is a moving target. So even if you have something you love, like this is my favorite razor, this is my favorite, and you've even used that combination before, you may have a totally crappy shave with that stuff just because it's a Tuesday. You know what I mean? So
right.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's right. No, I was absolutely, agree on that. And then I just lost my train of thought.
Okay. Sorry. I do that to people, Gerard.
No, that's good. But that was a great point, Todd. And I think part of it, it's, for transparency's sake too, like, a podcast that covers wet shaving, any content creator that covers shaving, part of it is like in the back of my mind, would I necessarily chase or purchase all the things I have? Not always, but sometimes to make a video, personal curiosity, or other people have requested it. I've certainly made purchases, but granted, sometimes there's something like someone might send me something, or there's other means, right, to make it. But like at the end of the day, with FOMO and whatnot, it's like always, you know, spend within your means. I know we don't probably say that enough, but I know Gerard and I, you know,
fiscal responsibility.
We're not going into debt because we want to get the new razor, and we talk about new stuff too. But it's all, that part's not always out there, and the content creation part's like we're doing it because people are interested, and that's kind of you've got to feed that part of it too. And I don't know if that's a natural segue. Right?
Well. Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say this, that one of the most dangerous justifications you can say is your significant other. It's for the channel, dear. I bought this for the channel. It's totally for the channel. Oh,
I'm gonna, and I've mentioned this like numerous times, right? The ways we try to justify, you know, things, right? I've dabbled in the hobby of like sneaker collecting, right? I have friends that are into cars. And you tell yourself, oh, it's only $15. It's only 20 pounds. It's only, you know, it's only this, right? And then here we are. I don't even want to know, like, in terms of like, some of your guys calling. Like, right now, I'm probably hovering around 70 soaps, okay? Most of them with matching splashes. Most of them.
I'm not going to count until I'm sitting with a therapist
you know what I mean? So we can do what we want to do, you know, and that's probably a topic for another day, you know, like what are the, you know, the loops that we're going to try to avoid, you know, to justify things for ourselves.
Yeah.
But
maybe we should start a recovery like business. Like people come for a retreat for, you know, just at least not purchasing anything for a week or something.
And they have to use our code so that they don't.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll lose all our sponsors. All the sponsors will cancel us. But
there's a small group of shavers that they invented the term or the hashtag Gruyere, Gruye, and it stands for Gentleman's Restraint Until Year's End. They're like, I can't do anything right now. I'm practicing Gruyere, you know.
So. That reminds me of like when you know we talk about like, oh, I'm on a shaving, was it like a budget freeze for shaving stuff?
Yeah.
But then like time and time again, like if anyone out there is on a budget freeze for shaving stuff, number one rule of a budget freeze, don't talk about budget freeze. Because like as soon as you tell someone, oh, I can't buy that, I'm on a budget freeze, something else is going to get announced that is going to make you break the freeze. Without, you know, like misskipping a beat. That's what always happens. So if you go on a freeze, just kind of like charitable donations, just keep it to yourself. It's for the best. Just do the nice thing. Do the good thing.
Log off all social media accounts. Yeah. Do not talk to your friends. Do not have Don't record any podcast episodes. No. Don't.
Gerard, I'm on a budget freeze. Bing! New razor made of platinum.
Get out of your other shave chats and all things, you know. Do not go on the Lather Talk Discord. Do not go on XYZ.
Whichever community you are a part of.
Going back to what Gerard said about matching splashes and soaps, that's one of my biggest weaknesses. I can't buy a soap without having the matching splash. Yeah. And it gets me really angry sometimes, because if I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example.
For artisans that like don't make a matching splash.
Well, no, it's not that. It's like Razor Rock Aqua. I'd seen somebody posting about that saying, oh, it's one of the best aquatic scents out there. So I had a little look to see where I could get it. I don't know whether it's been discontinued by Razor Rock, but you can't get it via Razor Rock direct.
Mm. I think it's super light.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's nice.
Well, yeah, thanks, Gerard. Sorry. But anyway, so I had a look, and Pasteur's Pharmacy had both the splash and the soap, but obviously they won't ship the splash to me, and that makes me really angry.
Oh, because yes.
It's not the fact that, well, it's a ridiculous thing anyway that airlines won't ship like alcohol anyway. I can't remember. I think that somebody told me it's not actually to do with the alcohol content. It's something to do. I can't remember. But yeah, I hate that. If I have to buy a soap and I can't get the matching splash or balm, yeah, that really upsets me.
It should be at least for the alcohol thing and shipping. With the United States Postal Service, you're not like that, and batteries, you're not supposed to ship it by air. Like, and this is like under the letter of the law, you're not supposed to. You know, if you find an individual through a private transaction, well, you know, I'm not gonna say they're checking anything.
Who would ship stuff through the United States Postal Service that's not supposed to be shipped that way?
Oh, I don't know.
Under the law, though. Yeah, so whether it's like you know, to ingest or even just in a grooming product, yeah, I think that's at least the law that might be catching, and that's incredibly annoying. And also remind me, Andy, we haven't talked about. I wanted to get a chance just to really touch upon a little new venture that you're starting.
Yes,
and for those watching the video version, Andy is at the office. But Andy, could you tell us a little bit about like kind of what is what's on the horizon for you?
Yeah. So I'm on the verge, well, in the next probably week or 2 weeks, of launching a male online grooming retail shop called Apocalypse Accoutrements. And I thought it was a really good idea when we chose the name of calling it Accoutrements. But when you speak to people, like, they're what? Apocalypse what? Apocalypse Accoutrements, and you can, if you go on Instagram, we've got an Instagram page as a Facebook page, but it's not a shaving related. I've got quite a few shaving products that are going to be available at launch, but it's a grooming, I suppose, not business, but retail business that encompasses shaving, hair styling, hair care, skin care, little stuff like bar soaps as well, lip balms for men, all sort of male related. And it kind of ties in with the whole, well, it doesn't tie in with the mental health thing, but eventually I want to get to the point where I can donate X amount of like the sales to a charity. But excuse me, it was born more out of frustration more than anything, and people getting ripped off with shipping and stuff like that. There's nothing more frustrating. Like, I spent, I can't remember how much it was a few weeks ago, and I still had to pay shipping on top of that. And I'm like, come on, seriously? I mean, it's, and I'm not starting it to make, because I'm fortunate enough to have, I've got a full-time job that pays the bills. But so I can offer stuff at a slightly lesser rate, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I want to do. I want to focus on the customer more than anything, though. I want it to be an experience, you know what I mean? Because so many times companies just send out something and you just get a box with the product in, which is fine, but I want customers to feel valued. So yeah, each of my let's grab them. So all my packages will come with a sticker. I'll get it out. I'm quite proud of these stickers.
Look, yeah, I'm so excited.
So they'll all come with this an apocalypse accoutrement sticker.
Oh, nice.
And then every 10th order, so it's not like your 10th order, every 10th order will come with a limited edition holographic one.
Oh.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah, it's shiny. Confirmed for audio listeners, it is shiny.
It is shiny. And then there's there's just like a card in there saying thank you and stuff and a QR code with a link to the website. And eventually I'll hopefully be able to bring some more stuff into it that makes it a little bit more, I don't know. I've got some, where is it? These little pin badges as well that I've had made up. So,
oh, cool.
They're pretty cool. I'll probably end up sticking some of them in there as well at some point. But yeah, it's something I wanted to do really since I came out of the army is set up a business. And it was either going to go down the route of being setting up a pomade, like homebrewing company, or being an artisan. And I just thought, well, I haven't really got time to be messing around with like making soaps and learning how to do it. So this was the next best thing. I'll just buy the stuff and sell it. And I mean, I'd like to eventually have somebody maybe make a soap for the company, because I want it to be a brand as much as just a company. So if there's anybody out there that wants to do a white label soap for me, then yeah, let me know. But as well as that, I want to try and make like some of the US stuff more accessible to like the UK and the EU. So I'm in discussion with a few US artisans about getting their stuff certified. And just so they can get as much as I want to make it accessible to people over here, I'm sure they want to get their stuff over to the UK and the EU as well. So that's part of what I want to do eventually as well. I've got a big like head full of stuff that I want to do, but whether it'll actually come to fruition or not, I don't know. So yeah, I'm hoping to launch like latest, it'll be the 21st of February, maybe earlier, but okay. There is a website set up already. So if you, I think I haven't done the whole like search engine optimization thing yet, but if you go on the Instagram page, there's a link to the website on there.
Okay. We'll be sure to include that, the link for Apocalypse Accoutrements, as well as your own opinionated Brit.
I'd appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, that's very exciting. That's awesome. And because when you're talking about like you're looking for that Razor Rock soap and Splash, like that made me think like, oh yeah, that's like, I'm sure that's like driving. It's like, oh, I wish it was more readily, you know, this product.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. Right? And I guess, I suppose I shouldn't be feeding the habit really as much with other people. Everybody has their own, has a choice, don't they? So, but it's, yeah, I want to make it, because customer service is massive. You know what I mean? The customer is king really, and I want customers to feel like they're valued. So another thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to give away all my little secrets, but yeah, you'll find out hopefully. It's not just going to be a UK base, if you're in the US or anywhere else, you can buy stuff. So some of the maybe the harder stuff to get in the US, I know like the Razor Company and Pastors like carry like pretty much everything, but like some of the Phoenix and Bow stuff, the Lothar stuff or Luther. I didn't even know it was called Luther, actually. I always called it Lothar, but yeah, just some of the UK stuff, because you've got like signature soaps, you've got Wickham's, and like Wickham is one of the best like vegan soap bases I've used, you know what I mean? And it doesn't get as much love as it probably should over your side of the pond. So yeah, it's exciting, but yeah, it's also, I suppose, a little bit of jumping in at the deep end. So I put all my own money into it. I mean, it's not like it's all self-funded. So if it goes wrong, I'll be in debt for years.
Oh, no.
And that's why we want to mention it now. So
yeah.
For our UK, EU-based listeners, definitely go check out the show notes and follow Andy, what he's doing. And I mean, you know, by the time this episode releases, it might be well underway. And if that's the case, if I see, you know, like you've given the green light and the website's up, I'll be sure to put in the post, you know, post production. Yeah, that like, cool. it's good, everything's good to go. Like,
or if it doesn't work out, I'll have like years more supply of shaving stuff and hair products and stuff. So I'll be set either way.
You just do grassroots and do meetups and sell it that way.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, good luck with that, Andy. Especially you're gearing up to launch that. I did want to bring us kind of to the last area, and I know we kind of we keep mentioning we wanted to talk a little bit about the topic of content creation because everyone on today's show has some form of content creation. So I don't know how much we can get into it, but at least I wanted to touch upon this. And so my question then to you guys is, how did you get into content creation, and kind of what was the first platform that you started making content on?
Yeah, I was YouTube from the beginning. I mean, I initially got into like beard oils and beard balms when I still had a beard. Wet shaving didn't slowly take it away. But at one point I had a goatee, but I'm on CPAP therapy. In order to get a good seal for my mask, I had just to go completely clean shaven. But I started out like with the whole beard balm thing and then fragrances and all that. So just enjoying, content on YouTube. And I was a big Paul H, still am big Paul H guy, like, you know, and that's one of the things about content creations. You're trying to find your, not just the niche topic, but your niche, modality or format of your videos, you know? And, you know, some of these, OGs in the YouTube, wet shaving space still just like do a shave and that's it. You know what I mean? There's no, but I still love it. Like I still love Paul H's, you know, content, but, I found that a lot of those, you know, obviously very informative, and it helped. It made the learning curve for getting into this hobby, you know, not as steep. You could get in there, you know, pretty quickly and learn things. And I started to learn things along the way that I just wanted to share with other people. Like I just wanted to share what I was learning, and share my love for it. And I would hear certain soaps or something that wouldn't get much love in the broader space that I wanted to like tell people about, like, you know, this is amazing, you know? And so, but I also, to be honest, like, I saw that there was community around it and that people were supporting each other. And like, one of my favorite things is on Facebook, there's the wet shaving content creator group, which John, I think you had a big hand starting that on Facebook, but that is such a cool, community where, you know, it's wet shaving content creators basically helping each other do a better job of, you know, creating content. So it's just nice to put something out there and share with other people. And I would have made friends anyway, just through commenting on videos and being on social media, but actually making the content and having people reach out to you and requesting certain things or that kind of thing, has been amazing. And for me, that, I started a tag a couple of years ago. It was the 5-4-3-2-1 challenge, which like exploded in a way that I could not have imagined. And that's been incredibly rewarding to me because I'll try to say this in a humble way, but I think that video, like those combination videos of those, mm-hmm. were such a service to the community to like, okay, here's like a aggregate of what everybody thinks about products at this one point in time. And I think people have really, you know, found that to be beneficial. So yeah, I was, you know, watching Paul H and a lot of other folks and I've pretty mm-hmm. much, I've dabbled a little bit in some, Instagram, you know, videos and even some TikTok videos and stuff like that. But yeah, YouTube is, I think YouTube just is a platform for anything. I mean, half my house would be broken if there was not for YouTube, right? You know, like learning right, how to fix stuff, like, you know, so yeah, I just love YouTube. I think it's a great platform for learning any kind of hobby. I will say caveat, it is also dangerous, you know, like it's, you know, I have my fair collection of fountain pens and pocket knives, and I've been told to never get into men's watches. I've been told by people do not ever get into watches. So I'm taking their advice and staying away from watches. Yep.
How about you, Andy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I already had a YouTube channel, which I'd started dabbling with like pomade reviews. But it's kind of such a niche subject. I didn't really have the passion or commitment to put enough time into it. So I not long after I'd stopped doing those videos, I got into wet shaving, and I thought, and I think it must have been Mark Hero or Mantic 59 that I came across that kind of got me, realized that there was wet shaving channels as well. But yeah, and then I think, again, the community. So obviously when I got into wet shaving, it was just a quick search on Facebook, see if there was any groups. And then one of the first things that happened to me, somebody reached out and said, hey, well, I want to send you a razor. And I've got, I think, I can't remember what the two razors were. I think they could have, they were like night and day. One was an R41.
Ooh.
And one of them, I think, was a, what was it? Edwin Jagger, D, was it 69? No, what's the D?
89.
That's it, 89. And I did a little search on you on Google, and I just thought, oh, the R41 looks nice. I'll try that. And obviously everyone was like, oh, you do know that's an aggressive razor. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't really know what that means. And I like the look of it. I'm like a magpie. If it's shining, it looks nice. I'll try it. So yeah, they sent me that. And one of the first videos, I think, on my channel, or certainly when I transitioned into wet shaving, was the Zoom Groom Challenge that Stan Aides did from Pacific Shaving, mm-hmm. or Pacific Grooming, sorry. And I absolutely tore my face to bits doing that. It was probably the worst razor you could use to do a speed challenge. And even now, when I'm a lot more proficient, I probably still wouldn't use that. But yeah, I guess now recently as well, I'm a bit of a rogue wet shaving content creator, in the sense that I speak my mind. I mean, and I'm trying to transition to slightly, like Todd mentioned, a lot of people just kind of shave and that's it. But I want to try and transition into making it an informed review. So it's such a subjective like topic, but at least if I take a razor, like I'm probably gonna do my review on the Pearl Blaze this weekend, but I want people to see what the actual razor is like, you know what I mean? So focus more on the razor and the hardware rather than the actual shave.
Gotcha.
And then with the soap, like I said earlier, the soap, a lot of it is scent. So talk about the scent, talk about like what I get from it. I mean, I'm terrible with scents anyway, like the scent notes that you're supposed to get, I don't ever pick up. But if it's not nice, I'm going to say it's not nice. You know what I mean? I've got no loyalties to any one brand or any artisan. And that's not me being like, for the want of a better word, arsehole. But if you see somebody shaving with something, you want to know what it's like. And that might be my opinion. Somebody else might really like it, but at least you've got an informed decision. You know what I mean? If somebody's basically said, well, I don't know, if I say, let's take Kaizen, for example, I might say I really love it. Yeah. And then everyone might go out and buy it, but I always put the caveat in there saying, well, that's my opinion. I mean, I'm not going to tell you to buy it, but I really like it. And you get a feel for certain YouTubers. Like, so if you, for example, I bought that the Sea Spice Lime off the back of your recommendation, and a lot of what you like, I like. So you watch particular channels, and if I see something you say I like that, then I'm fairly confident I like it as well. So if people, I don't know, say, again, I'll just use Kaizen as an example. If I say I really like it, I do really like it, actually. It's one of my favorite scents, but yeah. Somebody may buy it and like it. And then if I do another review on, I don't know, say the Plunder from No Blotter, if I say I don't like that and they know that they like Kaizen, then they may not go out and buy the waste of money. You know what I mean? So it's kind of making it informed and trying to get my opinion across, but it's such a difficult and subjective subject. It's difficult. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just want to make it more structured because it makes it easier for me as well. And a lot of people switch off if videos are too long. So keeping them to a reasonable time is half the battle. So I haven't posted really since Christmas, but I'm hoping to pick that up again. I've had a bit of a skin infection, which hasn't helped things. So I haven't really shaved on camera for since Christmas, but I tend to shave like do once a week, and that allows me to then enjoy the other shaves. You know what I mean? I shave every other day, so I've still got that balance. You know what I mean? I'm still putting the content out, but I'm still able to enjoy it in my own sort of personal space as well. So you've got to find that balance. You know what I mean? I think it's important, because if you haven't got the passion, it comes across on camera. So
very true. That kind of this connects to a question I wanted to throw to actually, and Gerard too, feel free to answer this one if you like. But like, what have some of the biggest challenges or hurdles been as far as content creation for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as Andy said, like trying to keep them short and interesting. Like I try to make content I would want to watch, but I also want to make content that I enjoy making. You know what I mean? And so when it gets to a point where it feels like a second job, which is a fine line you have to kind of walk. But there's sometimes I'll step away for a little bit just to so I can, you know, get the passion back for doing it. But, you know, I think the one challenge we've already mentioned is like making sure you're not justifying purchases just because you make some YouTube videos. You know what I mean? That's one challenge that's just real. You know, I think the second one is it's easy to set up and shoot a video. It's the editing, you know, and walking that line between getting out quantity versus making the kind of videos and editing the kind of videos that, you know, with the jump cuts and the this and that and the other, the second shot, like overhead shots or what, you know what I mean? Just I think ultimately I don't want to waste people's time. You know what I mean? I want it to be something that they enjoy. And I know what I enjoy watching. And so it can just, you know, it's easy to shoot a video, but editing a video is a lot of work, you know, to make it where you want to be. So constantly sort of, you know, pushing I'll just be honest, like, you know, there's some people out there that you know, just shoot the shave and I love their channels. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's people that don't do any editing and I love their stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's people like Greg Tardif that make me want to quit. like, I mean, I was an early fan of his stuff, you know, yeah. I was like bragging on it, you know, and I love it, but I love that we've got people that are hitting that level of production, you know, yes, value, but,
absolutely.
But you know, I love too that like, because John and I have had phone conversations about, like, I remember one time you were talking to me about a storage on MacBook, right? And another time I'm talking to you about Discord and, you know, how to incorporate that into what we do with the podcast. And
yeah,
and so yeah, I think the purchase temptation, but also just knowing how to find your niche and how to not put too much time in it, but just enough time is it's hard, you know. It's hard when you have a full-time job of your own, you know, and you have family and yep, and you're trying to do those responsibilities. So yeah, I'll just add this third part is really focusing on that, making content you like and that you enjoy making, and trying to forget about the numbers. Like, that's easy to say and hard to do, but just forget about the numbers. Because to me, honestly, if I had, you know, these five, because there's usually a handful of viewers that are the ones that comment the most and give and leave. Like, some of these commenters amaze me because they leave thoughtful comments that they've really taken time, you know, to think out and add stuff and learn things from. And so even that small, you know, group that you might develop around your channel is worth it, and in my opinion. So just try not to look. You know, my daughter started a YouTube channel when she was like 14, which I think technically is illegal. So sue me, Google. But she was
13.
Okay.
It's 13.
Okay. Thanks. So, but she
actually heard this.
She did this around a TV show that used to be on called Once Upon a Time. It was like, you know, fairy tale set in modern time, but or whatever. But anyway, and there's a whole fandom around that. And she has like 2,500 subscribers, right? Which is like, you know, way more than I have. And she made enough on her AdSense revenue to buy a Nintendo Switch and to buy Animal Crossing, you know? And so, yeah, I look forward to the day where at least I hit that 1,000 mark and, you know, gradually there'll be a trickle of a penny a month or something coming in. But so, yeah, I mean, I think you just have to set your expectations and, you know, realize, you know, you're probably not getting rich doing this, you know, and this is probably not a sustainable second income. So it needs to be something you love and that you're doing it for the community. And, you know, if it grows into something else, it grows into something else, but you really, or you really have zero control over that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd echo that. I think one of the things that frustrates me or annoys, well, it doesn't frustrate me. One of my vices is jealousy within the YouTube community. Cause I, you know, it's a bit like a habit. You start a channel and you don't really you're not really bothered about the numbers. And then you get to 100 and you think, oh, that's pretty good. And then you want to get to 500 and 1,000. And then you see other people that started at the same time as you that are just getting infinitely more subscribers. And you think, well, what am I doing wrong? But then actually, like Todd said, when you put your videos out, you get a core group of people that regularly watch it that actually mean more than, I suppose, the non-regular people. I mean, I appreciate every single person that subscribed to my channel, but I think, yeah, it's easy to get wrapped up in what other people are doing. So I think I don't really care about that anymore. I mean, I watch channels. I try and watch every single channel, but it's impossible. You just don't have the time. So I went through a phase of trying to watch a channel for a week. And I think it was a week or a month and watched all of their videos. And I think when Greg Tardif, yeah, I'll give you the middle fingers, Greg. Or the middle
loving middle fingers.
Yeah. When Greg, because I think I discovered, I don't know how long he's been around, but I discovered Greg when he had about 150 subs on YouTube. And I thought, well, I really like the content, really like what he's doing. And I still do. He's a talented guy. And I like his sense of humor and the way he does stuff. And then I posted on my Instagram account saying, look, hey, check out this guy. I'm going to showcase him for a month and go and check out his videos. And next thing I know, he's pushing 1,000 subscribers. And I'm like, hang on a minute. But yeah, it's difficult not to get jealous. But then at the same time, YouTube's not the platform it used to be. Gone are the days where people are making millions and millions, and certainly in a niche such as wet shaving, I think you kind of just have to do it because you enjoy it. And I do enjoy it. You know, I mean, I enjoy shooting the videos and making the videos, and I try to do all my videos in one take, so there's minimal editing. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think it's easy to get tied up in what other people are doing. But at the end of the day, I'd say if you want to start a channel, start it, but don't focus on the numbers. Just do it because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And try and have a different spin on it. You know what I mean? Try and do something different.
Yeah. And I would say all those challenges are outweighed by the relationships that I've created, the friendships I've created. I mean, sure. I mean, you know, the word friend is kind of all, you know, distorted by our society and social media, but, you know, even acquaintances or people I talk to once a month or once a week, or, you know, it's just, I have legitimately created friends, you know, through this that I call and talk to and, you know, share things with, and two, you know, just sharing people sending you products or whatnot, or information, or it's just, I will continue to do this. You know, there may be times I go on hiatus for a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'll continue to do this primarily because of the relationships that I've formed, and just not wanting to lose that, not wanting to lose that brotherhood, that camaraderie, not to put words in Andy's mouth, but I know one of the things Andy misses about being in the military is being around his guys, being around the buds, you know, and so we can kind of, you know, it's a brotherhood, you know, and we got some sisters in the hobby too, but you know what I mean? It's just there's these little inside jokes and things. And so often in our day-to-day life, you know, we're so busy with our jobs or, you know, or whatever else, that it's nice just to have another avenue for friendships. And that's the great thing about this community, I think, and being a content creator.
I just like to say, I don't actually hate Greg Tardif. I like him. He's a talented guy. And I don't want him to, if he does listen to this, don't want him to think that I hate him, because I don't.
Now people are going to be like, who is this Greg Tardif? And why do they hate him so much?
Why does everybody hate him so
much? He is. And by the way, such a humble guy.
We actually hate ourselves that we don't have the type of commitment and talent that he puts into his shaving videos.
Indeed. He doesn't take himself seriously either. You know what I mean?
He doesn't.
He's not pretentious at all. Like he's not, you know, and I love that. That makes him lovable. He's an affable guy and we wish him all the luck.
Yeah.
So just keep the little people in mind, Greg, as you were saying.
Well, we've talked about Greg so much. I'm definitely have to, I'll include a link to
him. Now we have to have.
Yeah. I'll include a link to his channel, but just kind of what everyone said, like I would say probably one of the best production value and great quirky humor. If you like, yeah, so if like high production value, quirky humor, the dude compares the scent triangle to hot dogs. that is a personal favorite video of mine that he has created recently. So go check out Greg. Shaving with Greg, I think it's the name of the channel.
Yeah. Shaving with Greg Tardif.
Oh, the full name. Okay, I wasn't sure if he put his last name there too. But... Rock on, Greg. we've been talking for a while now. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'd love to, like, yeah, I have other questions and we only scratched the surface, but
we'll come back. We work for cheap, so we'll
come back. Or we just do this the opposite way where maybe right.
We're on we did talk like about that.
Yep.
All right, so maybe we'll put a pin in it just so that we have other things to come back to now that we've kind of laid the groundwork. But because you're content creators, because you're just good dudes, I won't give a chance for both Todd and Andy for you guys to go ahead and or some plugs that you'd like to put out there as we're winding down.
Go on, Todd, you go first.
So you can find all of our content, including at least our mental health podcast content, by going to takecareman.com. You'll also find my YouTube videos there, the podcast episodes. I'm going to start blogging probably a little bit there too, because I want to branch out a little bit into men's self-care more broadly and also just men's wellness. Kind of a preview of what I got coming up. Probably not wisely, but I've signed up to do something called the Mammoth March hike on April 2nd. I'll be hiking 20 miles in 8 hours, which I'll probably need emergency medical treatment for afterwards. But you know, being a middle-aged guy, a man of a certain age, you know, I think we have to think about health sort of holistically. So that's a lot of what I've tried to talk about. But yeah, you can find all my contact information, all my content, just by going to takecareman.com.
Cool. I'm not as organized as Todd, but you can find my YouTube channel is The Opinionated Brit. It's the same name on Instagram as well, The Opinionated Brit. And then obviously Apocalypse Accoutrements, if you want to check that out. So that'll hopefully be launching on the 21st of Feb, if not before. Hoping to get at least inventory populated in the next week or so you can at least browse like window shop before we launch. Obviously the Take Care Men podcast, you can reach me and Todd I don't know, we do have a email address, don't we, Todd?
Yeah, you tend to remember it. I never do, so I was hoping you would mention it. And
let me find it. I think, it is. It's the takecaremenpod@gmail.com. So you can, if you want to send us, if you want us to talk about something, or you want us, if you've got an issue that you don't know really who to talk to, or just send an email to that email address. Me and Todd both have access to it, or we've got the Instagram account, Take Care Men Podcast. Don't suffer in silence is the thing I'd say, because it's easily done. You may be feeling stressed at work or whatever, but stress can quickly develop into something else. So nip it in the bud before it turns into something a little more sinister. It's been fun. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, if I could mention real quick, I just want to give a shout out. Jason at the Razor Company early on, and still does sponsor our show. That was such a shot in the arm for me, at least, and I think for Andy too. Just the encouragement of someone supporting men's mental health, and Pete at Hendrix Classics and Company, and then Liz at Crown and Crane have been great to support us, and Heritage Hill. We kind of had made this semi-secret, not secret. They're working with us to create a soap specifically where the proceeds will go to benefiting the podcast and raise awareness about men's mental health. So unfortunately, they've been sending the scent oils to me, which I can't legally send to Andy or I would. And so I'm feeling a lot of pressure making decisions about what the scent's going to be. But anyway, we're very thankful. They reached out to us about doing a scent to help support the podcast. And so I just want to give those artisans a shout out.
And Irene at Ginger's Garden, she's obviously helping.
Oh, well, yes, so. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that for the balm. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
So Irene's going to do the
Irina.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, Irina. she's going to do like the aftershave balm. And then obviously John over at Heritage Hill is going to do the soap. But it's going to be a bit of a, well, I'm not saying anything. We don't want to give our secret away, do we?
No.
You release it
just a bit of a tease,
right?
A teaser, yeah.
Yeah, just a teaser, yeah. Teaser, so on the horizon. It's all on Todd to pull his finger out and say yes, we're happy with this set.
Well, that's exciting to hear what's down the pipe coming down real soon. All the support that you've guys gotten, we definitely we wanted to have you on not only just to talk talk with you guys, some great guys, but also help with the normalization of men. Talking about your feelings, talking about your struggles. We wholeheartedly support in that. I'll check in with both of you guys too, so that we can leave some links for resources, US, UK. That's because that's the regions that you guys are covering and would know best where people can turn to. Yep. So that if you are struggling with something and don't have someone immediately to talk to, that there are resources out there, guys, and don't keep it bottled up. But yeah, such an important topic. I know all these things we kind of just managed to scratch the surface, but it's still such a pleasure to talking with you both, Todd, Andy, Gerard. Great conversation today, guys. Thank you so much.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for having us.
And don't watch Greg Tardif.
Well, we had such a fun time speaking with both Todd and Andy of the Take Care Man podcast. You can find all the links that we mentioned, as well as social media links for Todd, Andy, Gerard, and myself in the show notes. Also, a big thank you to our supporters over on Patreon. If you guys have the means and would like to support the show, please check out the Ladder Talk Patreon, and you can get access to bonus content, behind-the-scenes footage, and other benefits for signing up. Some other ways to support the show, you can leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you so much again for tuning into today's episode. We hope to catch you next time. Take care. Bye.